Hey, welcome to Old Ass Movie Reviews. I'm Scott. There's Dave, and we're taking it to, I believe, 1941's The Wolfman. Universal's take on the werewolf genre. Probably you could say this is the genesis of werewolf movies.
I would say this is the beginning of the werewolf genre.
It absolutely is. I see a lot of stuff watching this that I've seen in more modern werewolf movies.
Right.
A lot of the similar setups. So you watch this, you know exactly where this story is going to go. But dude, Claude Rains, Lon Chaney Jr. Of course, when I see him, I'm thinking Spider Baby. I'm always go back to Spider Baby.
Right, right. You can't.
And of course, they make a callback to this movie in Spider Baby.
Yeah.
But this is a good flick. This is the first time that I've seen it. It's a short movie, about 70 minutes. Pretty damn solid.
Did you recognize Colonel Montford, the guy who was in charge of the police?
There was a lot of familiar faces in here.
That's My Girl Friday. That's the guy who's marrying.
Is that Ralph Bellamy?
Yeah, that's Ralph Bellamy.
Okay.
I was almost waiting for you to text me and tell me, like, son of a bitch.
That's Ralph Bellamy. I saw that. It's like, what the hell? It's cool, though. I mean, because, and this is going to happen when we're in this time frame. It's right. Like now, you can't go to the theater without seeing the same five freaking actors. That's right. How it is in any given time. Unfortunately, the actors were better back then.
So. I they were a lot better back then. Bela Lugosi in the starring yes. role of Bella.
Yes. Wasn't like, that great?
You guys couldn't have thought of another name? That's my biggest pick on this movie. It's like, wait a minute. You named Bela Lugosi yes. Bella? No,
it was Bela.
Bela.
Bela Lugosi is Bella. Yeah, it's the accent. Not Bella. Bela.
Maria Auspenskaya.
Oh, good luck with that one.
The witch. The gypsy. Well, she's kind of a gypsy witch, I would call her, because she was the one who could call him down out of being the werewolf.
Yeah.
She was in the Frankenstein movie, one of the Frankenstein movies, wasn't she?
I believe so.
And a couple of other movies we've watched.
She looked familiar. She was one of those that I guarantee you was not nearly as old as she was made to look like in this film.
Yeah, I don't think she was. Or if she was, she just always looked old, you know?
Yeah. Now, that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. Now, there is a significant age gap between Lon Chaney Jr. and Claude Rains. However, they look so close in age, I started to get confused. It's like, he keeps calling him father. It's like, wait, it is. So, but it absolutely, age-wise, could be. But
were they
don't look that way.
Big of a gap?
It's about 17 years, I think, something like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed it because it's funny.
Yeah, Claude Rains was 1889. And, I forgot when Lon Chaney was. Oh, I will tell you. Well, Claude Rains was 1889. And wow. I don't know when Lon Chaney Jr. was. But I'm getting there. This was a cool flick. It really was
1906.
Okay. So yeah, I forget what I said, 1889, 1906. There was enough time.
It's just so damn funny. Like you said, cause when we were watching this, the old lady looked over at me and said, that's Claude Rains, right? I said, yeah. And she was looking and she's like, he's not old enough to be his dad.
Just
I was
barely.
Like, yeah, I know. It doesn't. They seem like they're really, really close in age, but I guess not.
And that was a. I think it was a bad choice because I did find that distracting. But
right,
that's me nitpicking this movie. I'll just go ahead and say it. You know, it's okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the dad. Moving on. You know, it's
right.
This movie moves pretty quick. It was a little pervy when he had the telescope. And
I wanted to hear about that. Like, what did you think of that? But you know, it was a simpler time too. I mean,
it really wasn't pervy.
How it was back in the 40s. I mean, I'm sure you had pervies with telescopes, but It wasn't the norm. It's not what anybody talked about.
So no, he really was just tuning the telescope. And of course, when he stopped on her, and he didn't, I just wondered where it was going to go, you know?
Yeah, right. Nowadays, you would have had him linger while she was getting undressed or something.
Yeah. And I think he realized that when he went and told her that, I looked at you through a telescope. So he didn't hide it. And she's like, well, I'll make sure to close my curtains. And he's like, and that's when he realized, oh, oops, you know, I might have,
So he's bad judgment. Absolutely. Back then, you have to look at it like the back then times, I think. Like he's just a guy who was thunderstruck when he saw her.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because he almost immediately goes down to the town.
I know, right? Like, right. He shows up because his brother has died and he's in a hunting accident. Very interesting. A lot of full circles in this movie.
Yeah,
everything keeps coming back.
Yeah, the cane.
Yeah, I really expected the ending to be different. But I should have remembered I'm watching a Universal movie. It's just going to end. It's just going to end. I wanted to see the father undressing at the mirror, or taking his tie off and seeing a pentagram.
See, that would have been interesting. That would have been really interesting. Or the old lady coming to the door and telling him your son's not dead.
Yeah, because I fully expected Bella to show up again. Yeah. It's like, wow, that was awfully easy to kill the werewolf. I'm glad as the lore progressed, they became tougher. And we get, you know, like.
Well, if you have the silver is supposed to kill the werewolf. It's a pure substance or whatever, and you're supposed to be able to kill it. So Kat was asking me about that. Like, she's like, he's got a candy. He's just beating him. I said, yeah, but it's silver. It's big. That thing ain't light, man. I mean, that thing had to be about 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hit the head. Anybody's dying from that, but especially a werewolf.
Yeah.
But, there was a couple of moments where, I think it could have been tighter, but I think the storytelling for the time was
storytelling is really good in this. It keeps you going.
I'm just saying, like how you and I were like, it would have been interesting to have this happen or have that happen.
Yeah.
That's not how writers were thinking back then. Writers weren't thinking of a sequel. They were like, okay, it's over.
Yeah. There's the story. You know, done.
It's done. We're done.
It's
Claude
done.
Rains, we don't want Claude Rains to be a werewolf. So we're okay. We're good. If somebody would have thought about that and was like, hey, you know, you can get Claude
we be can a keep this going,
werewolf in the next movie, that'd be awesome. And they probably would have made a lot of money.
They probably would have.
You know?
But, that wasn't. Sequels were a thing.
In a universe somewhere, that movie was made.
It was made. It was made, but they all had hot dog fingers.
What a great movie.
What an awesome movie. Yeah, so this particular movie is like I said earlier, the Universal films. They're tight, and they just end. It's well shot, well acted, well produced. The sets are good. Yes, so good. I have them on Blu-ray. I bought the Universal box set, so these things have been cleaned up really nicely. It looks great. You got to go back to the originals. Now, what this makes me think of is I'm watching this as like, man, I really love The Howling, our American Werewolf in London.
Right.
Two of the werewolf movies that I think of right off the bat. One's like, what's the best werewolf films?
Yeah.
The transformation scenes they did in 1941 were phenomenal.
Yeah.
So it was really good. Really good. Not the whole on amazing transformation from American Werewolf in London, which sets the bar snout
coming out.
I had the Fangoria magazine on that. And, you know, just remember looking at the pictures over and over how they did all of that. Today, kids, we'll go to YouTube. We had to wait and get something in the mail and look it up and see.
Yeah, we used to have to wait or go to the magazine rack and find it.
Yeah, yeah. And read it there at the store.
Yeah, because we couldn't afford the magazine.
No. Or we just stole the magazine. I don't know.
No, we just stole it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's funny. Yeah, this movie, it's really tightly written. Yes. Lon Chaney Jr. is not a great actor, but he fit this role really well.
He did good with this. There were moments where he played a little too young.
He looks a lot older. How old was he when he did this movie?
I don't know, but he was older than he played.
Yeah. He had to be in his 30s, right? Because 1906, if he's born in 1906, this is 41.
Yeah, so he was in his 30s. He came across as 18.
Very young. Yeah, like very young.
Yeah.
He should have already been a man of the world. He was away from home.
Well, and they addressed that he went and he did another job and everything, but then his mannerisms and stuff, it was weird. It was weird acting choices on the director and Lon Chaney Jr.'s part. Does it take away from the movie? No. No.
This is not a classic. You can believe he's freaking out whenever he finds out he's a werewolf, because he's losing his shit quick. He buys into it. I think he bought into it too quick. But again, it's a 70-minute movie, tightly written.
They had
movies to pump out back then. I mean, they were just pumping movies out left and right back in Universal.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That was he did buy into it way too fast. But my thing was, when he started to change, not only did he physically change, he changed his clothes. And he kept changing his clothes. He had a special Wolfman outfit uniform that he had to change into.
Yeah.
Whereas Bella was a full-blown wolf. This is kind of a hybrid amalgamation of wolf and man. And now, it's the iconic face.
Here's something that just talking about that, the change. Is it because he was newly forming and he was fighting against it, and Bella had given in to the wolf side?
Just
this huge monster wolf. But Lon Chaney's character was trying to fight against it. Like,
more man.
So he stayed more human.
Oh, I think you might. I'll buy that. Yeah, I'll buy that.
And I just thought of that talking to you right now. Like, I had never really given it too much thought. But who did a good job on this kind of a genre? And I don't know whether we covered it or not anywhere previously. Werewolf by Night.
I need to watch that. Yeah.
It was like a half hour, Disney. 45 minutes by Disney Studios, Marvel Studios of all places.
I've heard it's really good.
Whoever was in charge of that did a good job. So that, and this kind of, that reminded me kind of this.
Very
cool. You had the wolf man who looked like a wolf man. I like that.
So that's interesting. That you came up with that, and that makes a lot of sense, because Bella was definitely, he gave into it. It was his curse there. Yeah. It was, some of his acting choices were weird too. But anyway, it's Bella.
But it's, back then, Bella wasn't going to be told how to act.
No, it's Bella. No, like I said, at this point, I'm nitpicking the movie. This is a gem. This is good.
But the uniform, the clothing choice, everybody who's ever done anything on this movie has always brought that up. Like, that was the biggest holdout or standout. The thing that everybody notices is, okay, he was in a different suit, but now he's dressed.
He's got a costume.
Worker's clothes.
Yeah, I'm off to the factory, Ma. His wrench on his shoulder.
Where's his lunch bell?
Yeah, exactly.
But that, other than that, but everybody has noticed that. Even as a kid, I noticed that. He was just in a three-piece suit. How was he in this, shirt and pants and just...
They should have torn up that suit.
Nothing was shredded. Nothing.
If they didn't want to make,
that's a nitpicky thing.
It is a nitpicky. You know what? And if the movie sucked, we would be all over that.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that's something that you actually brought up later. It's not like the first thing you said was, "Damn it, that suit." It's a minor thing, and if you let it annoy you, then
everything's minor in this movie.
If you let it annoy you, and just people in general,
if
that's the thing that pulls you out of that movie so much, then you are not going to like any Universal movie.
You're not going to like any movie.
I could get past the little people in Bride of Frankenstein, I can get past the guy with it's a werewolf in a suit that he's always in.
But I will not get past
his werewolf uniform.
The lonely blind monk who has a friend. The
lonely blind gay monk with a gay Frankenstein. Oh, that director just had no fucks to give.
Isn't that awesome? Look at this shit. I mean, that is awesome. That got made. Watching some of the stuff that was made back then is like, damn, you guys had balls.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even
Metropolis, for Christ's sake, look at that thing.
The Maltese Falcon. Some of the lines they had in the movie were very telling of the characters of the, you know, in that movie. Like you said, Metropolis. Wow. Which has that dropped yet? That hasn't dropped yet. Or maybe it's dropped before this one.
It will.
But man, the choices of Metropolis. Like you said, I would have loved had that movie just waited a couple more years and came out with sound.
I would have loved
it. I honestly think it would have made it. I honestly think it would not have been a failure at the theater that it was. And I was shocked to find out that it wasn't a big deal in the theater.
I'm still shocked. Because
I've grown up my whole life hearing about Metropolis and how great, and oh my God, this movie. I'm like, okay. And then I started reading about it. But Wolfman, The Invisible Man, Dracula, Frankenstein, all these movies hit it out of the park, man. Every one of those Universal movies.
Yep.
It's amazing. These guys couldn't lose until they started doing like the Wolfman meets, who are those two comedians?
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello, yeah.
Yeah.
Then they started like.
Yeah, you know, I was reading an article recently that those two hated each other near the end.
Oh yeah.
It's like, wow, what a read. I'd love to watch a movie on that. That sounds like a hell of a story.
It's kind of like Lewis and Martin, you know, Jerry had his lane. He should have stayed in. Martin had his lane. He should have stayed in. And Jerry decided he wanted to come over into Dean Martin's lane.
Yeah.
No, you don't stay in your own lane. You guys are a good team the way you are. Don't fuck it up. And the reason that broke up was because of Jerry Lewis. He just wanted to be everything. He wanted everybody to love him and not Dean. And it's like, everybody loved Dean, man.
Yeah. You know, we will have to explore Jerry Lewis this year, maybe. I think he was a hell of a physical comedian.
But
a lot of that comes from, you know, him just wanting to be loved.
He was manic. He was
So interesting. Yeah, wow. I'm just my brain going off on Jerry Lewis. Anyway, the Wolfman, here's my take. Gotta watch it. Classic Universal. This is where it begins, folks. Go in. You'll love it. It's quick. It's a fun movie.
I would agree with that assessment. It's the cinematography, the direction, the acting, every actor. I mean, Bellamy gives a good performance in this. Even the minor character, the woman who gets killed.
Jenny?
Faye Helm, who played Jenny. She's the lady who gets killed. I thought could have been a better death, should have been a better death, slightly different. But they needed somebody to die quick, so you get the werewolf attack.
It all happens pretty much off screen, out of sight. You can kind of see what's going on.
But even for a smaller role she was a good actress. Evelyn Anchors, good actress. They don't have a bad actor in any of this.
No.
Nobody gives a bad performance. So you got to knock that up to George Wagner as the director, Kurt Sedemack doing the writing. And then all the other actors are just, they're not just reading lines. They didn't just memorize lines and go in and recite them as some of the movies of this time period.
No, this is well acted. It's a good freaking movie.
So the cinematography, the sets.
Yeah.
Just like Frankenstein sets. I mean, you want to have a scary set. The fog for this with the werewolf coming out of the shadows and all of a sudden you can see his face and the teeth. It's like, that would scare the hell out of you, something like that coming out of the woods in the middle of the night.
And Lon Chaney Jr., he really played it well.
Yeah.
When he became the Wolf, you could see the feralness. He played it well.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I 100% agree. You got to see it. Yeah, it's worth a shot. I think if you like any of the Universal movies, you probably like this one.
Absolutely will, I'm sure. So folks, if you like this movie, if you like us, hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe. Catch us wherever you listen or watch, and we will catch you next week. Thanks for joining.